And apparently, they haven't forgotten this moment either. Okay. Now, I honestly don't remember the snobby tone, and I am not suggesting that any of you would ever have that tone either. But I wonder if any of you have ever said the same thing. And if I can press just a little bit further today, I should mention that when I ask this question, when I kind of wonder out loud, I'm not talking about hockey gloves, I'm not talking about Christmas sweaters or strange gifts from your crazy Aunt Betty. Okay? When I ask this question, when I wonder this out loud, I'm actually wondering how many of you are looking at the hand that life has dealt you these days. You're looking at the circumstances that you find yourselves in, the situations that you find yourself in this year or this Christmas, thinking to yourself, man, this is not what I wanted. I didn't ask for this. Okay, this is not what I was expecting right now. I mean, I know from experience this can be an incredibly hard place to be, in a place, in a situation, surrounded by circumstances that have you thinking, man, this is not what I wanted. I didn't ask for any of this. And if that's you, here's what I want you to know today. If we could travel way back in time to the very first Christmas and talk to Joseph, Mary's fiance, Jesus's father, I think that this is very likely what he would have said. I think it is very likely that he would have said the exact same thing about the gift that he receives the very first Christmas. I think he would say the same thing. This is not what I wanted. I wasn't expecting this. But at the same time, what we get to see in Joseph's story is God's response and God's promise to us, to you and to me, when life doesn't turn out the way that we wanted, or when life doesn't turn out the way that we imagined it would. And so this morning, I want to show you a little bit of what I mean by that. And so I'm going to ask you to turn your attention with me to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. If you've got a Bible or a Bible app, you can follow along. You can also follow along with me on the side screens as well. But here's Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. This is what it says. That this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Okay, now before we get any further here, I want you to just get to know Joseph a little bit better before we keep going on here today. In other places in the Bible, we're told that Joseph is a carpenter. The Greek word for carpenter is the word tekton, which actually refers to any types of craftsmen. Some would actually suggest that it's a craftsman that worked with stone, more specifically like a stone mason. But either way, that word refers one way or another to some kind of a builder. Okay. Now, this is important because I want you to get a sense for the type of guy that Joseph really is. And while I cannot promise you that I know 100% what he was like, I can tell you about most carpenters and about most craftsmen and about most builders that I know today. Okay, and here's what I know. Okay, they are a very practical and a very calculated bunch. Okay, they live in a world that is black and white. Okay, there is a wrong way to do things and there is a right way to do things, right? Any craftsman or builder that I know, they are very precise individuals who live by a standard that I have not quite yet grasped yet. And maybe you know what it is, this standard that says you measure twice and you cut once. Okay, that's not even remotely close to being true of me yet, but this is very, very true of most carpenters that I know. And that's Joseph. He's a carpenter. He's a craftsman. He's a builder. Okay, and that's why what he learns next is so significant, because what he learns next, it is absolutely beyond measurement. It is absolutely beyond calculation. In fact, I have to believe that Joseph would have real trouble computing what it is that he is told next. There is no practical, there is no logical, there is no reasonable explanation for it. Look at the rest of verse 18. It says this, "But before the marriage took place, while she," this is Mary, his fiance, "while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit." So now that you have a little better understanding about the kind of guy that Joseph is, let me ask you a question. Do you think he's buying this? I mean, do you think he's convinced by the whole, the Holy Spirit did it story that Mary is spinning? Remember, he's not a poet. He's not a prophet. He's not a philosopher. He wears overalls and steel-toed boots, right? I'm thinking he's not much of a romantic, right? He squares off edges and he follows plumb lines so that everything is exact and as precise as it needs to be. And now, his bride-to-be is asking him to believe the unbelievable. Okay? Asking him to believe in this immaculate conception. Okay? I'm sure, if I'm being honest, I'm sure he would have liked to believe it, right? Because pregnancy any other way would have been incredibly devastating. It would have been incredibly devastating for him. So I'm sure he would have loved to believe that, yes, the Holy Spirit was at work, but I don't think he can bring himself to it. He's too logical. He's too practical. There's no explanation. So I don't think he can bring himself to it. So he's in a tough spot. He's in a tough spot, and actually he's got a pretty big decision to make about what to do, right? And the bummer thing for him is, unfortunately, the Maury Povich DNA test episode, it was not an option for him at the time, okay, to figure out who the father really was. And so he has to decide, right? Either believe the unbelievable story that his wife is telling him, or he can trust nature and anatomy and all of science and all of history and just end the marriage now, because obvious logic tells him that he is not the father. Okay, and truthfully, if you know the story, you know that at the moment, right, the first time around, Joseph actually chooses the latter. Okay, take a look. Here's verse 29. Joseph, to whom she, Mary, was engaged, he was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly, to call it off. Okay, now the situation is clearly not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but Joseph decides to handle it as nobly and as honorably as he can because he's a good dude. And yet, at this point, it seems like it's a pretty open and shut case. I mean, it seems like it's pretty clear. In his mind, the writing is on the wall. But he does something, I think, very smart. He doesn't rush into this decision, okay? This is no small decision, and so he slows down. He decides actually to sleep on it, something I think that so many of us should do a little bit more when we're fired up about something that is so important, okay? He slows down, and he sleeps on this big decision. And in the midst of this little afternoon nap of his, God shows up and tries to clear up all of the confusion. Here's verse 20. As he considered this, right? He slows down. He's thinking through all of this stuff. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Okay, the angel says, "Hey, Joe, it's okay, man. I know this is wild. I mean, I know you don't have a set of blueprints, you know, to roll out and to follow on this one, but the angel's saying, you got to believe me on this one, right? God is behind this. This is really a gift of his to you into the world, okay? This is his hand and his spirit at work. You got to believe me on this." Okay, but that's not all. Okay, look at verse 21. The angel has more to say. He says, "You got to believe me." And then verse 21, he says, "And she, Mary, will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Okay, the angel's saying, hey, this is the hero that generations of your ancestors have been praying for and waiting for and wishing for. And oh, by the way, he's going to call you dad. Okay, it is at this point that I got to think Joseph is saying to himself, this is not what I wanted. I did not ask for this. I was not warned about this. I am not prepared for this. I am not ready for this. Okay, for starters, this really is totally unexpected. Here he is. He's a good dude. He's living a faithful life. He's minding his own business. He's working hard. He's a few months, you know, away from the wedding day. He's marrying the girl of his dreams. She's been doing Whole 30 for like 60 days so that everything is good for the big day, right? And then the angel drops this bomb into his lap. Okay, even if he is convinced that God is behind this whole deal, there's still a ton of social risk involved. I mean, this was a pretty scandalous looking situation from the outside. It was a pretty scandalous looking situation that he and Mary were a part of. It didn't look good for either of them. And that type of scandalous situation, it very well brought a lot of negative attention on him. So there is social risk for him involved. Secondly, dad to the savior of the world, that sounds like a pretty big responsibility, okay? I'm nervous to raise like 3 regular human beings, right, who aren't the savior of the world. I'm just praying that I don't screw this up, that they would be smart, responsible, respectful members of society, you know, who cheer for the Vikings and who know how to do more than boil water for macaroni and cheese when they, you know, go live out on their own, right? I'm just trying to make sure these kids are heading in the right direction, okay? So now imagine being the father of Jesus, the father of the savior of the world. I don't know if I can imagine it. And I gotta think Joseph had a hard time with it too. I cannot imagine that he wanted this. I cannot imagine that he asked for this, that he ever dreamed about this or ever thought that this would be something. Okay, the drama, the tension, the father of the, I can't imagine that any of this is anything that he ever thought that he would have to consider. Wasn't trained for it, he wasn't prepped for it, he wasn't warned about it. I cannot imagine he wanted to be wrapped up in the drama of this whole situation. And so the next question is, what would he do? What would he do in response to this unexpected and potentially unwelcomed gift that he just learned about? What would he do? How would he respond? Well, as some of you maybe know quite well, he had a change of heart. Okay, he had a change of heart from his original intention. Skip down to verse 24 if you're following along. Here's what it says. When Joseph woke up from this little nap, okay, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Okay, just like that, Joseph accepted the challenge. He took the assignment. He said, I'm in, and he did what God was asking him to do. Okay, don't you wonder what made him change his mind? I mean, don't you wonder what caused this change of heart? Yes, he was a good dude. He was a righteous, you know, faithful Jewish man. And yes, the angel said, hey, this is God's doing. But still, this was a big ask, a very big ask, right? And he was already planning his exit strategy. So what gives? I mean, what would cause the change of heart? And what specifically would give him the courage to act with such urgent obedience? Well, right before that we learned that Joseph woke up and did what the Lord commanded, right before that, Matthew, the author of this letter, he actually adds an interesting detail about a prophecy, a kind of a divine prediction that was made long ago. It's a prophecy, it's a divine prediction that Joseph most likely would have known very well, because he was a righteous, God-honoring man from a family tree whose roots run deep in the nation of Israel. And so this is a prophecy, this is a prediction that I'm sure he would have known well, okay? Here's the details that Matthew added about the news that the angel delivered to Joseph. It's actually back in verse 22 and 23. Here's what it says. And all of this, Matthew writes for us, he adds in this detail, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Okay, here was the message. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Friends, Christmas, it is the announcement that God is with you. Okay? No matter the circumstances that you find yourself in right now. Expected, unexpected, welcomed, unwelcomed. Christmas is the announcement that God is with you. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe this is what clicked for Joseph. Even though it made no sense, even though it may have been beyond his ability to comprehend or to compute or to calculate, he was confident that he could handle it because he knew that God was with him. Here's what I think. I think confidence in God creates obedience in us. Okay? It's confidence in God, in his promise, in his presence, that God really is with us. It's confidence in that promise. It's confidence in God's presence that I think creates obedience in us to stay faithful in the midst of some of the most difficult, unexpected, unwelcome circumstances that we might find ourselves in. I think it's that kind of confidence in God's presence, in his promise, that gives us the courage to be obedient. Here's what I know, okay? You may never experience such a dramatic, appearance from God like this, like we're reading about in these stories. But you will, if you have not already, you will encounter unexpected circumstances and risks as you attempt to carry out God's will for your life. In fact, this Christmas, maybe this winter, maybe this fall, maybe this year, some of you are in the middle of right now. Some of you are in the middle of those unexpected and potentially unwelcome circumstances, okay? You just didn't see it coming. You never imagined you'd be in the middle of what you're in the middle of right now. You never imagined that you'd have to, deal with what it is you're having to deal with. You never imagined you'd be dealt a hand that you really just didn't ask for. And if someone asked you about it, about what you're experiencing right now, about what you're going through right now, about the hand that you've been dealt right now, if someone asked you, you'd say, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I expected. This is not what I've been trained for or prepared for. This is not what I ever imagined I'd be doing right now. Right, some of you after a long year, you may be at a place in your marriage that you never thought you'd be. Right? You never imagined that, they'd do what they did. You never imagined they'd say what they said. You never imagined the gap between you could grow or even get that wide. You never imagined that you really could hit rock bottom. You never imagined that you'd be handed papers or that you might be drawing up papers yourself. Okay, some of you are at a place in your career that you never imagined you would be. The job isn't what you thought it would be. The company isn't exactly what you thought it would be, isn't going where you thought they would go, right? Maybe business has slowed down or maybe the business is looking like it's going to close down. Maybe the hours have been reduced or maybe you lost the job that you loved that you had for so long. Some of you are trying to figure out how to be a spouse, how to be a parent, how to be an employee, and how to be a teacher all at the same time, all under the same roof, all day long. Tension is high, conflict is rising, stress and anxiety are like the new normal. Some of you just got the invoice. You just got the repair estimate. You just got the collection notice. And never in your wildest dreams did you ever think you'd have to worry about how to get by. Never in your wildest dreams did you have to think like, well, hey, what should we pay first? Should we put food on the table or should we pay this bill? Some of you, for maybe the reasons above or something completely different, some of you are at a crossroads. You're at a fork in the road when it comes to your faith. Life has been hard. Life has been unexpected. Feels like God has been silent. Faith seems dry or stale or stagnant. I don't know exactly what hand life has dealt you today. I don't know what hand life has dealt you right now, but whatever it is and wherever it is that you find yourself today, here's the deal. You have a decision to make, just like Joseph. You can cut and run. You can jump ship on your family, on your faith, on your community, on your friendships, right? You can let suspicion or fear or doubt or anger or worry or insecurity or something else influence the next move that you make. Or you can choose to believe that even in the unexpected, even in the unwanted, even in the unwelcomed places that you find yourself right now, you could believe that God is with you there. And if you could be confident in that, if you could be confident in that promise, confident in God's presence with you, no matter where it is you find yourself today, maybe you too can be obedient to the path where God has placed you, the path where or God has put your feet today. The announcement that God is with us is what gives us, I believe, the courage and the confidence to be obedient to what it is that God has asked, to hold the line, to stay faithful, to stay in the game, to not give in or to not give up on it, on them, on him or her or on God. And when we do, right, when we do hold the line, when we do stay in the game, when we do stay faithful, and when we do keep our feet to that path that God has placed us, I do truly believe that we too will find a reason this Christmas to rejoice in what God can do in our lives and in this world. Let me pray for us. God, that's perhaps the best news we could ever be given, right? That no matter what we are experiencing right now, you are with us. God, we are in some scary places in life these days. There's a lot happening. There's a lot going on. And I know for a fact, I've experienced it myself, God, that there are times and there are places that we find ourselves that we just didn't ask for, we didn't expect, we never imagined we'd be there, we never imagined it would happen, we never imagined that the gap would be as wide as it is, we never imagined that we'd be doing what it is that we're doing right now. God, I've been there, and I know that so many of us are in that very same place here today. God, I think that's a little bit of where Joseph may have been. It was a gift given to him, but it was so unthinkable, so inconceivable that he had a decision to make, God. And I'm blown away at the courage inside of him to respond the way he did, to say, you know what? This is bizarre. I'm not sure this makes any sense to me, but I'll do it. I'll stay in the game, God. I'll do what it is that you asked me to do. And I think that he can do that because of his confidence and what he had been promised, a Savior, a Messiah. Emmanuel, God really is with us. So God, I just pray that for everyone here today, God, for everyone tuning in online, wherever it is that they find themselves today, God, I'm praying that you would find a way to deliver that message to them specifically. God, I'm asking that you would do more than kind of deliver that message to us. I'm praying that you would find a way today, this week, this Christmas, God, to deliver that message to each of us individually, God, to someone specific here today who needs to know God is with me in the midst of what I'm experiencing right now, in the midst of this hand that life has dealt me. God, I'm praying that confidence would grow right now in each of us, that you really are with us, God. And as confidence in your presence and in your promise to us grows, I'm praying that courage would grow in us too, to be obedient to the path that our feet have been placed on. God, I'm praying that courage in us would grow, to be obedient to you and to the things that you have called us to do. God, we thank you so much for the good news that you are with us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. The band's gonna close us right now. I invite you to stand if you'd like, to stay seated if you'd like. But the band is going to close us by singing that good news to us that God is with us. And I'm praying today that it would give each of us a reason, no matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in, I'm praying that it would give us a reason to rejoice. Let's sing together.